Worlds are colliding as we're heading to Survivor Series. Battle lines have been drawn and crossed for War Games. Something's a brewing on NXT, and we're talking about all that tonight on The After Show. Let's go.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz.
Oh, the sensual sounds of Iron Man, Mac Lish, Evan T. Mac only means one thing. It's time for the Wednesday Night Delight NXT. It's your boy, Bobita.com. Bubba Voice Live in the mix, having time of my life, being joined by the other half of the Tag Team Recap Champions, David Christopher. How's it going?
Yes, sir. It's going.
You good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm actually really into what we're doing right now with all these different brands and just mixing it up. I mean, it's fun. As hell.
Oh man, crossovers are abound. What? Oh, you got your own music now? Don't tell TK.
I like that.
He's gonna be so mad when he finds out you have your own song.
Yes.
Give him a punk rock, everybody.
Fry guy in the booth. Yes, thank you, man.
So it's Survivor Series season. It's the November delight. It's going big. But before we even get into all that, Survivor Series, War Games, NXT tonight, let's talk about the last week of WWE programming, right? Crown Jewel happened. There was some fallout from that with the whole travel situation. NXT gets the call Friday night to go to SmackDown, and it basically put everything in motion. Thoughts about from Friday on?
Let's say those guys are working. I'm going to say they're working,
yeah,
man. I mean, I think it's awesome. You know, we had talked about previously what exactly is going to happen. You're talking about the interview with Corey and Triple H. What does he mean by that? What does all this mean, right?
Yeah.
Well, clearly we got our answers, and I think here's the thing. My take is I hate it as much as I love it.
What?
And I'll say why I hate it in the sense that, you know, I'm a veteran guy in the sense of I always back the OGs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always want to see them get over. I want to see them kind of lay that smack down on the new guys. You got to earn it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love it because I do love seeing the Young Bucks getting these opportunities. I do love seeing them getting pushed on this new platform. It's genius in the sense of getting them to the larger platform, you know, getting in the mix with like these veterans to learn, to improve their skills, to just building this NXT brand was... it was genius. It came out of nowhere, and especially with the AEW wars, I think, you know,
yeah,
they're definitely going to have to step it up over there now to keep up with what's going on now with these three brands.
Right.
It's amazing.
But okay, all right. So NXT is all in the mix. SmackDown, we run through this. Before we start the show, you had a comment that I want to put you on blast on air.
Yeah.
You said, and I want to make sure I get this right, you said you were not a fan of Tommaso Ciampa beating The Miz on Friday night. What?
Absolutely. And here again, this goes back to my love-hate with this whole thing because, again... No, I mean, I do, like I said, Ciampa, I'm digging him, man. I'm behind him. But again, you know, The Miz has put in that work. I think he is underrated, and I don't agree with him. I mean, I understand he's putting Ciampa over, and that's great.
Yeah.
I can respect that. But I think they should have had someone else put Ciampa over first, because
wow,
The Miz is still a very active, very top of his game. He's one of the big stars right now.
Yeah, he is, but no one gives him credit because he's a homegrown WWE talent.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, that's kind of, I almost feel like it kind of brings a stake down a little bit, you know,
okay,
for The Miz. And that's just my take, you know, and like I said, the work that The Miz has put in all these years and where he's at now in his career, I don't feel he should have taken that fall. At least not yet. Maybe give Ciampa a few other superstars first to build more of that hype, build more of that, like, oh, Ciampa's he's killing it. You know, he can actually beat The Miz.
Right.
Who knows? Instead of just kind of throwing him in right away and just like, oh, he beat him.
Fair. Yeah. I like the promo, though. Like Miz held his own. Being like, oh, I've been here this time. I ain't the first person to tell me I don't deserve it.
Right.
But yeah, so Triple H comes in with his army, and not only on Friday and on Monday. For those of you who've been tuning into WWE's The Bump, apparently our AfterBuzz alum, Evan T. Mack, was not too thrilled about Triple H bringing the crew. What was up with that?
I mean, I love it. That's our boy. That's Evan, man. You know, I mean, and like I said, I shout out Mr. Mack.
Yeah, Mack Lish.
I agree with him on that respect. Again, it's a very love-hate with this whole thing right now. And but I do love how when Triple H called him out,
yeah,
Evan didn't want no smoke.
No,
you know what
no,
I mean? He was
not,
like, totally
man,
just backpedal, like,
yeah,
you know what? Like,
so when a boss stares you down, it's kind of nervous as it is, but not someone
right
can give you a pedigree. I'm good. I'm totally...
right.
Send my check to my apartment. We're good.
Yeah.
I just want to give a special shout out to everyone out in the chat, like interacting with us with your questions. You're talking about Xeno Hour, Kyle Franklin, Sonal Shockwave, Dang MQ. All you guys are greatly appreciated. Xeno Hour was an OG, you know, has been in the mix as well. And Heywood Wong, who's been totally piping the show and sharing the show and telling everyone about it. So props to that. Phone lines will be open a little bit later. 424-354-8302. That's the number to call to get your questions, comments, and concerns in. 424-354-8302. Top story, right? The OC just decided, you know what? We're tired of getting our asses beat. We're going to NXT. And not only did they neutralize the Undisputed Era, they get to be in the main event tonight. Just overall thoughts about now finally we're getting some blowback on NXT side from the main or the other two brands.
I think it's great. I think they should have did a little bit more. I think we should have more guys come down. I think, like, you know, we're talking before, I think the Finn Balor thing was great. That was a great ending. I think it would have been awesome too if we'd had a couple more of the Raw guys or SmackDown guys coming down and having more of a battle, just hyping this thing up a little bit more. That would have been great. Yeah. For, you know, the OC, I think that's great. They need that to keep their storylines just fresh, and I think the NXT brand is a great spot for them to be in, especially with, you know, guys like Ciampa. I mean, right. that's a great move.
So let me ask you this, now that the Bullet Club theme song is now your new musical bed, what do you think about that giant tease at the end, whether that two sweet finger guns, if you're Finn Balor, what's going through your mind?
You know what? Yeah. Yeah. There it is. That's hard, man. I don't know. You know, I was telling you, what route should Finn take, you know? And you did say the comment you think he should stand alone, which I actually agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, you know, it's weird when you go to NXT and you have, like, are you going to go back? Remember Seth Rollins being teased and being mean right now? Like, here's a chance for you to really stake a claim and say, no, I'm this version of Finn now. I'm not Prince. I'm not Fergal anymore.
But the thing with all of this, which is really exciting, is there's so many possibilities. Now, even like you said, with Seth potentially, if he was to come back, you know, Finn there now. Now you have the OC back. And I mean, it's just there's so many different scenarios that can play out now. And it's like you become this blurred line, which is awesome, you know, between these brands. And it just opens the gates for so much.
You know, hot take, I'm not a fan of Survivor Series. I know I mentioned it before in other shows. There's three controversial opinions I have in wrestling. And that is one of them. I won't even go to the other ones because I know I'm getting hate mail for it. I don't quite understand what Survivor Series means now. I know there was a time when it was like the Thanksgiving pay-per-view and it was kind of the 5-on-5 matches, and there was years where the matches had made no sense, but they kind of grafted this bragging rights thing to it. But if you win Survivor Series with the most matches, like, what does that mean? Do you get a bonus? Like, what to me is the payoff? So I'm kind of like bah humming it. I'm like, it's like my anti-SummerSlam. SummerSlam, I'm buying new merch for SummerSlam. But Survivor Series, I'm like, meh.
Well, I think point blank, what really is the underlying factor here is it's a boost for the NXT brand. Let's just put everything aside. That's really what it is. I think on top of that too, as a fan, I think it's more about showing, like, can these NXT guys hang with the big roster, right? You know, can they, do they belong with, like, the Raw, the SmackDown? Is this someone we can take serious? And I think that's what it's about. Yeah, so bragging rights. I mean, personally, I don't think NXT should take it, but I think that would be a huge jump for the brand. And so, I mean, in that respect, you could understand that. But again, it goes to my old school roots. you know, I don't think they should take it, at least not yet.
Yeah, put the work in first.
Right. I mean, and we don't necessarily have to see him lose, right? You know, I mean, there could be some kind of disqualification or another brand, you know, it's Braun SmackDown. I mean, there's different scenarios. But as long as they bring it and put on a great show, I think that's going to be enough just for them being in that event, as long as they don't get dominated, which they won't, you know, but I think that's already enough that they're in that playing field, you know, maybe get a few pins, right?
Or yeah, against a couple matches, yeah.
Correct.
Kyle Franklin in the chat says Survivor Series is my favorite pay-per-view. That's when most superstars get used, at least they used to. Maybe because also I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving. I'm just like, the season, bah, humbug. But
you don't like Thanksgiving?
I don't. I can't. Well, again, this is a hot take. I'm gonna get myself canceled, dude. It's just so much excess on that holiday. You know what I mean? It's like you eat what you want. I'm supposed to, like, watch my weight, but on one day on a Thursday, I do that on Super Bowl Sunday. I do that on Memorial. Okay,
this is the one day where it's okay to just eat food. You know?
Yeah,
just,
but everyone,
go ahead. It's
everyone
all right.
Pretends to be family. It's like, you know what? I don't really like you, but I guess I'm obligated to invite you to my house on this Thursday. But again, I'm the screw to Thanksgiving. But first match of the night, Pete
I'm
going to
start calling you TK tonight, bro.
I know, right? I'll just do this.
Right.
for Imagine Night. Please don't tell that. I should give you some enemy. Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. This is one of the matches or feuds that was in the background even before the Survivor Series War Games thing. And we're finally getting a resolution here, which I thought at first with Pete Dunne going over clean, but then Killian Dane comes out. So yeah, so a bit of like a three-way action there. Thoughts about the feud of Pete Dunne and Damian Priest? You want to see more? You're done with it? And having Killian Dane back in the mix.
Well, here's the, I think, you know, jumping ahead real quick. Dane, we knew it. That was going to happen. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to come out. You know, I thought he was actually going to come during the match. So, true. I mean, I do appreciate that they finished that match because those two competitors are great together. You know, they're really talented. So I do appreciate that they at least finished the match and before he came out. On that note, I wasn't too excited about the match because we've seen it and we know where the storyline's going with Dunn and all that, right? But they brought it. It was a good match. I loved just the wrist there. I mean, the whole finger thing, those reversals. I mean, it was entertaining. They both just really back and forth, good energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's one of those things. Too, and then always, you know, it always gets me watching the Razor's Edge or, you know, Priest version of it, right. As you may see.
Razor's Edge. Right. Dude,
yeah, dude, but
yeah, same here. It's cool. You know, but, I'm a better Razor.
No, it was a good match. So, and I think, you know, it's time though. Let's move on now.
Okay, yeah, I'm the same boat. I do think that for his time here, this match tonight was Damian Priest's most complete performance. I can see now the upside that I guess other people saw because a lot of times he would come out and I'm like, what is he? You know? Right. But this match, I liked it. I'm kind of worried about Pete Dunne. A lot of his mystique comes from him being used sparingly. And I think with this feud, I've seen a lot of him. So the things like the snapping the fingers may become a gimmick, which I'm afraid of. But I mean, the only time will tell. That's the case. Right. Just final thoughts about the match before we move on. Just any overall thoughts about that?
It was a great match.
It was solid, right?
Yeah, it was honestly solid. It was the back and forth, like I said. I mean, great athleticism, both guys. I mean, it was entertaining. They both told a good story of, you know, just a battle. Like I said, I was actually impressed with it. I got more out of it than I was actually expecting.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much that in a nutshell. Yeah. But before we move on, David Christopher, can you tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show?
Yes, AfterBuzz shows? Everyone, wherever you like to watch your podcast or take your listen, whether it's Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, please give us those thumbs up. Give us those 5-star ratings, comments. We love talking to you guys. We love hearing your thoughts. And always, you know, it's something that we like to engage with and see how we're doing. Because if, you know, we're doing something wrong or the show can make improvements, we always want to know. And just give us your support. We can't do this without you guys. And we appreciate it. And Flo?
Nothing more humbling. The more you know. Thanks, right guy. There's nothing more humbling than thinking you do a show and you're like, oh man, I'm the man. And then you see a comment like, yeah, you sucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I appreciate it because that means you took the time to write it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Moving on, our first women's match was Taya Arcante against Santana Garrett. So Santana Garrett was an indie darling for a long time, got signed in the last class before that. Taya, who had a couple of straight losses, actually getting the win with a stiff kick to the face. Just thoughts about the match and the upside of Taya Arcante.
I mean, obviously, it looks like Tainara's going to get a push again. Again, I have an MMA background, so I'm a fan already. You know, her skill set's awesome. I thought it was a great match. Santana did great as well, too, especially with the NXT debut. I thought it was a good match, really. It was entertaining, and I thought the girls brought it.
Yeah, it was, to me, it was kind of telling how the crowd got into the match almost a bit too late. It was like, at first, like, meh, but then as it ramped up, the crowd was into it, which tells me they want more.
Right.
The thing I was worried about though is NXT, and then you have the other show on Wednesday night. We can't mention you. AEW, I'm kidding. Survivor Series in the background. To go with that being the second match after the Pete Dunne, Damian Priest match was risky. It could have been like okay, who are these guys? I just saw Damian Priest, click. But I think the match was definitely worth it. So props to NXT for taking those risks.
Right.
And then ultimately paid off. But it was cool to notice how the crowd was kind of like restless until the very, very end.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's funny you say that because I agree with you that that was a big risk. And I was kind of in that same boat too. You know, watching the match, like I said, it pulled me in later on. And I was actually proud of how it turned out.
Absolutely.
It was something, you know, you had to get a little bit of a start to it. And then, you know, like I said, just the athleticism with the girls, just that grit, just back and forth. I mean, it pulled you in and it was like, okay, all right, I'm with this.
Yeah, for sure. But let's speak of women's matches. Let's talk about this next women's match, Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler. So today on WWE's The Bump, it was almost like a draft almost between Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley picked Tegan Nox to be on her team for War Games and said, but she didn't want to pick Dakota because that would be a wasted pick, right? Snap! So now Dakota has to, like, prove her spot, which is a great thing because we were talking about this with some of the other hosts on AfterBuzz that maybe Dakota doesn't have as much charisma as Tegan Nox. But here's it is. Setup. Match. You beat Shayna Baszler, and you have a shot to be at War Games. David Christopher, talk me through the match, the implications, and how using other shows in WWE Network to pop up a storyline.
Well, here's the thing. To me, the idea of it is already it kind of kills itself because, I mean, why is Kai going to beat Baszler? And Baszler's the leader of her team. She's the champion, and she's going up against the two brands. So essentially, she's already on this huge pedestal. How the hell are you going to have Kai beat her?
That's a fair question to ask, but I will say that we're in a company where, like, tag team champs lose all the time. Maybe the title's
on the line, but I mean, with all of this that she has going for her right now, what they're pushing, it makes no sense to me. So. Yeah. This match already, I was already kind of over it before it started because I'm like, this one, it sucks for Kai, and then two, like, we already know the outcome. So, I mean, if they did some crazy, you know, where all of a sudden Kai won, I would have been baffled. I'm like, oh, okay, so where's this going? You know, but they're not going to do that to Baszler right now. She's on fire and she's got a whole lot stacked right now.
Yeah.
So I think that would just ruin that momentum and change the guard of what they're doing. So, I mean, the match itself, I will say this. Kai put on a great show. I love the story. She took it on early. She was aggressive. We saw a different side of her. Of course, down the road as we go, Baszler comes back, starts a lot working that knee, you know, puts on that was a jiu-jitsu background, which, you know, I enjoy seeing. And then from there, though, you keep seeing no matter what Shayna keeps bringing is just Kai coming back, right?
Right.
Just coming back. And I love that. So you saw this big just monster going up, essentially this underdog, and you keep seeing just back and forth story, which is great. And
right.
The athleticism in there, these moves they're hitting, it was fun to watch. It was a great match. Mm-hmm. It looked like Kai just gave it her all out there, which was awesome, and I respect that. Like I said, so unfortunately, you know, I already felt that she wasn't going to get over, but, you know, I'd like to see a good push. I think she deserves it.
Before getting to the aftermath, just thoughts about the stock of Dakota Kai, right? Their team kick, they're good collectively, but it does seem that Tegan Nox is kind of like the star. Even though Dakota is the captain of Team Kick, it seems that, like, the fans are getting more connecting with Tegan Nox. Do you feel any different after this performance, or it was kind of like, okay, it was great. It is what it is.
I feel Kai has it in her, absolutely. Especially after watching tonight. She put on a good show, man.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That different side of her that you saw, the aggression, and especially with Baszler, you know, which is the champ.
Yeah.
I mean, if she had the right push, I really see her getting over more with that push, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the downside of it. So
let's talk about the fallout. Just jumping ahead a bit. There's a giant, you know, battle after the match. Mia Yim gets involved. Something we haven't seen in, like, what, 4 weeks?
Right.
I mean, she gets a spot for Rhea Ripley's team. Just thoughts about this now. So Shayna Baszler still has a fourth person she has not chosen. I think it's going to be Dakota, but I'm just speculating here. Rhea Ripley has picked Candice, she has picked Tegan Nox, she has picked Mia Yim. Thoughts about the teams as they are right now, 4-3. Are you on Team Ripley or are you on Team Baszler? Who are you rooting for?
I'm on Team Ripley, strictly for Ripley, because I feel her time's coming. I've been impressed with her, and I think, you know, it's that time. So I'm on her team for that specific reason. Again, I'm a fan of Baszler. Like, you know, she can definitely hold the torch. Obviously, she's a champ right now. I see she's going to the main roster. Well, who knows now with these mixture of brands? But,
yeah.
You know, I'm saying I'm with Ripley right now. But we'll see how it plays out, to be honest.
It's a hard sell for me.
It is.
I've been, and I'll be the first one to admit this, because I like to be accountable. If I hate Thanksgiving, you'll know. I've been harsh on Mia Yim, because I really felt like they gave her a chance to really put herself on skills on display, and it didn't work against Shayna Baszler. But to have her come out of seemingly nowhere to get the spot, I'm not sure if I should root for Rhea Ripley anymore or any less, because now you're supposed to be, quote-unquote, the face side, but what are faces and heels in NXT?
True.
But you basically slight Dakota to her face. You're like, nah, you're not good enough. And having me in your team because she had a Kindle stick, I'm not really sure who I should vote for now.
Good point.
I'm all confused now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that's why I say I'm with Ripley strictly for Ripley.
Okay.
You know, just because, again, like, I like what she's done, and
she works
believe
out
in her. Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hope the match is great. If you had to pick Shayna Baszler's fourth, who would you pick at this point? You still have Duke and Shafir. They're not especially selected, but they are around.
I mean, just because I feel bad for Kai, man. Like,
you know, she wins it all.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
I
you
told
know, like,
you.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's storyline. It makes the most sense to have Kai in there.
Yeah.
Unless you have like Tony Storm or someone, like someone completely off the rails. Right. Like, oh wow, you know. But it has to be someone at a certain level.
And I guess Ian, that would be fun though. I mean, I'm gonna say yeah, we'll say Kai.
All right, cool. Yeah. You hit her first. So if he's wrong, make sure you get his fan mail.
Or right, out send, there. Me
send me the hate. Send me the hate. Dang MQ says Tony Storm for the face team. Well, what will be? Yeah, and Joseph Bolden said, would Tony be a heel if she's on Shayna Baszler's team? Like, what are alliances on NXT?
Sure.
But moving on, it's now time for that special segment. It's now time for... Right guy, hit it!
Right, wake up, right.
He's not there. All right, so yeah, time for that boo thing of the week. I was, my drop is like the best part of the show. I got to give it to Titan Howard Conte. So here's
there it is.
Boo thing of the week.
Hey, I just feel so much more sexy when I feel that. You know what I'm saying? And ladies, I'm single. So give it to Titan Howard Conte, who has totally stepped up her game. Over the summer, she had a bunch of losses, like were strung together. But today's showing was showing me what her upside is, what kind of striker she is, what kind of how does that martial artist background actually relate to her as a modern character. So if you guys haven't checked her out on Instagram, please do. She's available at @TaiConte_WWE. She does most of her workout videos and her glam shots there. But just for her match against Santana Garrett, which is a noted veteran, my girl Tainara, you are this week's Boo Thing of the Week.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, Cruiserweight action. NXT, yes. Leah Rush in the background, being like a video game boss. Tony Nese, the premier athlete who somehow counts his abs and has right. clothes.
Which, he's got eight.
He has eight, okay? I got one when I don't eat for a day. Just one ab, just like one. And he has his clothes when he shows his ab. Taking on Angel Garza, who has been the Rockets on his back here.
Yeah.
The match is great. What's that say about the match itself, in your opinion, and the state of the Cruiserweight division here in NXT?
I think the state of the Cruiserweight division is great right now. I think you got two... Well, just in general, you're seeing a lot of great talent coming up. For me personally, I felt Garza was going to take it right at the top. But that match itself was awesome. You know, just a lot of energy. Of course, you expect that high flying. The way it started, too, is very like technical wrestling, just traditional wrestling, which is very cool, too. You know what
which
I mean?
Which is totally on the nose because Garza looked like Steve Blackman back then.
Yeah, right, yeah.
In the black trunks and the red shoes.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting how that started out to how it picked up. And it was just some of those moves in there were insane, man. And then... What is with the trunks, though? What was that all about?
Yeah, he comes out kissing grandma and they give him a show. Right. Like, it did seem like you can like recut that match with like some like Chippendales music.
Right, right.
Let's take off his pants, damn it. You know?
Mario's like, he powerbombed his pants. Like, what? What just happened?
It's one of those matches where like, Mario, look at this. They're all playing at this. Right. Well, I really thought Angel Garza was going to win, but for a while, like Tony was going to win too. And I was like, wow. Tony hasn't been on TV, or at least on NXT, for so long, but they're really saying, hey, look, Angel, we'll give you the shot. Next week, Leo Rush, Angel Garza, slap heard around the world. Thoughts about that and his prospects of actually winning that match?
Leo just got punked, I'll say He got straight punked out, dude. Yeah. And for him just to sit there and take it, you know, I wanted to see him at least do, like, the attack or something, but, you know, he kind of lapped it off. I'm like...
No, yeah, have you ever been slapped by somebody and be like, I respect this?
Never. Yeah. Not once. Usually that's like, dude, you, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It was so weird.
That was very weird, yeah. You know, it's going to be a great match, though. I'm absolutely excited for it. You know, I'm going to back Leo on this one.
Yeah, he has to retain. Yeah. I was going to love Angel Garza. If he gets a title, well, that's my next question. Because now with the Cruiserweight title being on NXT, what does that division even look like? With
good
Leo
point.
Rush and Angel Garza and even some of the guys from the tournament we haven't seen, like Mendoza or Raul Mendoza. I'm not even sure if Umberto is a Cruiserweight anymore because he's on Raw and all that.
Good point.
But I do think Leo retains. I mean, it'd be silly for him to drop the title so soon. I would say you in the chat, let me know. Zeno Hour says, great match. Angel is a star in the making. Yeah, and his pants.
Exactly. Now he is. I mean, you know, I want to say, though, credit to both of them in that match, though. That match was amazing.
Yeah, the match was great. I think it was actually one of my favorites because it was Cruiserweight matches and it was high speed, but it didn't become the flippy stuff. Right?
Correct. It was a good mix, but it kept on pace and it was still entertaining. But there were some awesome moves in there, good strength, athleticism. I mean, I dare say it was the match of the night.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think that's one of the other ones. And the other one I would think would be the next one. Isaiah Swerve Scott on a winning streak, taking on Dominic Dijakovic, which makes sense with Keith Lee moving on with the Matt Riddle tag. You have Dominic make sure he's still warm. Isaiah Swerve Scott looks like he's like the face of the brand. I mean, he's out there doing things inside the ring, has his own media empire outside the ring. The match was great. I thought the finish was another level. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, this one caught me off guard a little bit because I was confused why they went with Dijakovic. I thought for sure Swerve was going to get over on this one. So when they went Dijakovic, I was surprised. So, I mean, what does that mean now for him? What are they pushing for him?
It seems to me that Dominic's a star. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, this whole situation kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought it would have went a different direction.
Yeah, the point of the match where I really thought was cool was the finish. It was very non-WWE. It really was, these moves are going back and forth at high level. Some would say they didn't sell it as much, but it kind of led to this, hey, for a minute there, these guys are both operating Super Saiyan level, and Dominic Dijakovic got the win over there. I'm willing to see more of this. I'm not sure, are you?
I mean, I am. If it's similar to this, because, I mean, you saw the strength, the power versus the quick, agile athleticism. You know, you saw those two sides battling, which is, I think, in my opinion, always fun to watch. Right. And like you said, yeah, they didn't sell as much, but there were those moments in it that were amazing, especially with Swerve, man, doing those flips outside, you know, all over. I mean, I love these kind of matches because it matches different skill sets and you see a good variety.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely like to see it.
Everyone in the chat's going hashtag kill shot. Yes, that's a different brand altogether. Yeah. Shane Strickland, what up?
What up?
This brings us to our main event. We talked about it a little bit before, but this also has War Games implications. This is why this match was so great. With the OC being in the background, you have War Game story. You had a little bit of the Survivor Series thing going on there. Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Riddle. A supercar team.
I love that team. I love that team.
And the OC. So let's talk about the fact the OC are there as a unit. We were talking about this right before the show, that they were the perfect people to come back to NXT. At least I thought. Thoughts about that?
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. It's the right timing. The perfect team to go against. Everything lines up. It makes sense. And, ooh, caller.
Oh, we already got a caller?
Sorry about that, y'all.
Never mind.
I think we might, but
okay, yeah. The phone lines are now open.
I did not mean for them to be open. I think they're gone. We'll save the calls for a little later, y'all.
Okay, yeah.
As you're saying, I think it's great. And like I was saying, I wanted to see more of it. I was hoping more guys would have came down.
Yeah.
But, you know, you expected an awesome match. And I think these guys alone, like the OC, you know, basically taking, you know, Lee and Bro, all those guys, you know, essentially under their wing.
Right.
It's just building them up, getting them over. I'm sure they're learning a lot. I mean, it's a great thing not only for the wrestlers themselves, but obviously the brand and then the fans.
You know,
seeing these two worlds just collide, which, like I said before, it's exciting.
I will say this, that we are so spoiled.
Absolutely.
If these six guys were at any other show, that's a $70, $80 ticket.
Right.
We got it for free tonight. I was saying earlier, like the OC is the perfect team to go down there because it shows Raw, well, at least Raw, because SmackDown's like, whatever. But at least Raw cares enough to go back down and they get some retribution.
Yeah.
And they're big enough stars where the full Silk crowd would be into it, but it won't be over the top. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, there's Cena. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't believe that Carmella came back. It just is like the perfect mix there.
Yeah.
But we saw a lot of things. We saw Ciampa showing he can work post-injury. Matt Riddle and Keith Lee are going back to being that unit. Ciampa's the threat again. And AJ Styles actually put in one of the better performances I've seen in a long time. We're talking about him rusting in his age.
Yeah, we were saying that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's like moments in there where we saw where he was just on it. Right, there's that AJ, right? You know, because yeah, I mean, age is obviously a factor. And then when you're going up against a guy like Riddle, I mean, that guy can go, man. And one thing with Riddle is he's obviously very athletic. He's fast. He's agile. But I think by looking at him, you underestimate how strong the guy really is. That dude is strong.
Oh, absolutely. You know? He deadlifted Carl Anderson twice.
Right.
Yeah. I thought the fact that Riddle and Lee, even though they're so different, or even like I can't imagine the kayfabe scenario where they would become friends, like where they're at like a buffet or where they're out there chilling out, like, hey, I like you, I like me too. But the idea that they're almost like a cool unit, it's totally marketable, and it shows NXT in a nutshell: strength, power, speed, these kind of like three dimensional characters. Everything was on point.
Exactly. No, I agree, hands down. And like, you know, TK had brought this up last time, but, you know, it makes sense. Like she said, I hope that we see them pair again. to validate what they're doing, and it, this was it. And then now you throw a chomp on it, which is, it's just like a cherry on the top.
Yeah, for sure. Dangan Q says AJ makes his Full Sail debut. I think that is the first time. DJ Sip says next week should a few SmackDown people come to the show. I agree.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You would think that SmackDown would be the first one to be like, wait, what's up? And I know on the Monday Night Raw after show, I asked, hey, where's SmackDown? If I was on SmackDown, I would come to Raw, want to beat up Raw, because, you know, they're not right. friends, and to find out what's going on in NXT, hopefully they come out there so they're not just the brand took the L.
I mean, put it this way, SmackDown, you got laid the SmackDown. You guys really did that. NXT came in and they whooped your butt, you know what I mean? That's what happened. Seriously, you took out Miz, you took out Bryan, Bailey,
Sasha, Carmella, Dana Brooke.
Yeah. I mean, they just came in there and cleaned house, and you're not going to respond? Come on. Yeah.
And then ambush on Monday night. The OC got beat up. Yeah. And they came
back.
But
they came back. Exactly.
They came back. Everyone was kind of like, well, whatever. Yeah. You know, right. I guess we'll get them back next time. Right. You know, like, what would be the best case scenario, though? Because the thing is, with the three-way dance, like last year or the year before, where it's Raw versus SmackDown, it's like, okay, you get Raw 1 week, you get SmackDown 1 week. But how do you really keep all three brands hot and on equal footing going into this pay-per-view?
You got to keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. Realistically, and I feel like we've seen similar situations like this before, you know, even like when you had different factions like the Shield, or even before that Nexus, or even DX, what I mean, you just have that different unit coming in and just causing havoc, pretty much, you know.
Right.
Keep changing it up, keep the war going, keep it, you know, different feud. I mean, because when you have that thing that's something that's almost like an anti-establishment, people are intrigued by it. Like, so you want to see, it's like, oh, it's going against the grain. It's going against the rules. Like, what? Like,
right.
This can't happen. What? Sure. You know? So keep that going, you know? And WWE is very good with that. They've proven that.
They have, and that's to their credit, which they don't get enough credit. Tashik Moore says European tour is happening. I do agree, which means some people are already out there in Europe, but I do think you can hold people back. There's enough people in the roster to at least give the idea. I'm not saying you have to bring out all your A-list guys to Full Sail, but definitely show that you care.
Right.
We're opening up the phone lines now, 424-354-8302. Give us a call with your questions, comments, concerns. We don't bite. Punk Rock Christopher's in the booth. The mayor's in the booth. My guy in the booth is in the booth. We're all chilling out in booths.
We got a guy.
They got a bicycle. What's your name? You're in the air.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Johan Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Johan Pena. How's it going?
What's up, man?
East Coast living. How's life?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're good. We're good, man. Making sure you're okay. You're all right?
Yeah. No. It's a little delayed on my end, so that's why.
I hear you. What's your question?
So we have the women's team set up, right? So, as of now, who is your favorite?
We don't quite. Shayna Baszler has not picked her fourth yet, so it's hard to say. And I've been a huge Io Shirai mark all summer. She was actually one of my boo things of the week recently when I said I went back to her old matches. And I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe. That was glorious. But the thing is, as it is right now, Rhea Ripley is a star in the making. If she's not the bona fide star of this match because of her size and demonstrative strength, she is definitely the personality to get this idea across that women can do it too. And Candice LeRae is a dark horse because a lot of people don't know about her background. I'm sure you told me about that, but she can totally bring it as well. So that team, as it is right now, I'm leaning towards, despite the Mia Yim acquisition. Dave?
Absolutely. No, I agree. You nailed it. Yeah. What about you, Pena?
Can I give you my guess for Shayna's last?
Absolutely.
Number? Let's do it.
Somebody that's going to turn from face to heel. You ready?
Okay.
We're ready.
Tony Storm.
You know what? I'm always down for Tony time. She's actually one of my favorites. Thanks for your call, Johan. I appreciate it. She's actually one of my favorites on that division. Tony, during the Mae Young Classic, when she came out to the stage, it was like bona fide. You just knew that she was it. There's certain wrestlers, especially these female talents, where you just know. Yeah. Tessa Blanchard is one of them. Charlotte Flair is one of them.
Yeah.
Toni Storm, whether or not you like her style or not, you know she's feeling herself.
So, yeah, that's definitely possible. That's a good take.
Yeah. Thanks for your call. Again, the number to call is 424-354-8302. So Finn Balor comes out. We've seen it before about the whole alliance thing, and we won't have an idea with that. But what is going to happen next week, I really think you're going to have more insight to that. But the matches that were announced for next week, besides Finn's clarification, is a ladder match to determine the women's advantage for that match. So you have Io Shirai against Mia Yim in a ladder match. The winning side gets have the advantage in the order. I know with Finn's story in the background, this might be the most important match next week.
I think absolutely this most important match for sure. One, it's going to be, well, it should be entertaining as hell because it's a ladder match. Two, having the women do this, which is awesome. Now
do we have another caller?
We have another caller.
All right.
Here we go.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Kyle Franklin from D.C.
What's up, Kyle?
What up? D.C. in the house.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
How's it going, man?
I know you guys got an XFL team next year. Congratulations.
Nice.
Cool. So my question for tonight, if NXT UK were, let's say, more relevant or more well-known, do you think they would have been a nice addition to, like, round out the NXT team since it wouldn't be, like, it wouldn't be triple threat matches, it would be fatal four ways?
It's a good question. What do you think, David?
I think we still need more building.
Okay.
I think it needs more of a presence. I mean, I get what he's saying, and that would be great. I think it's a little too soon, though.
Sure. I actually agree. I love NXT UK. It's one of the best interpretations of pure wrestling, but it is so much on an island, quite literally. But just the fact that it's on the network only, a lot of the talents are very, very talented, but they are hard sell for American audiences.
Right.
There's so many just like bruisers. Like a Dave Mastiff is amazing, but you can't really, at least right now, in the way the system is, to get him across and make him a credible threat in three weeks or 2 weeks or so. So maybe next year, or maybe the year after, if it's a concerted effort, but I wouldn't have NXT UK there. In fact, you might just ruin it. It reminds me of my, thanks for your call, by the way. It reminds me of my early days of stand-up comedy. They say, don't go to every club around town when you're first starting because everyone will see you suck around town and no one will book you. So we'll see what's going on with that. Make sure you give me your calls in before you get
speaking
out of here.
From experience.
Yeah, exactly. I suck everywhere when it comes to comedy. 424-354-8302. Today I was listening to Corey Graves' podcast, After the Bell, which if you guys... I know there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there, but it's quickly becoming my favorite. Going more in depth about the Survivor Series storyline being jump-started due to what happened in Saudi Arabia with everyone basically being stuck, trying to deal with their travel woes and mechanical issues right there. Adam Cole, baby, the NXT champion, got the call at 2:30 local time to come to that to go from Florida, Orlando, to Buffalo for his match against Daniel Bryan. And that match was still amazing.
Yeah.
Another caller. Caller, you're on the air. I think. Yeah. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, this is Orlando from Fort Lauderdale.
Orlando. What's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Did you guys see what happened with Matt Riddle when he tried to do a dive? It looked like he almost injured himself.
Oh, yeah. Nisi caught that.
She totally did. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I think it's pretty durable. I didn't see anything from the injury report wire about Matt Riddle, but it was pretty gnarly, as he would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's resilient. He's resilient, so you know, hopefully all good. He seemed like he was all right. But yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, so... I'm thinking the fourth member for the Tommaso Ciampa's team will probably be Velveteen Dream because, of course, he still has beef with like the Undisputed Era.
That is a great point. So the Undisputed Era totally destroyed Velveteen Dream 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure about the extent of his injuries, if it's kayfabe or not. But if he did show up, that would be like the moment you would need for a War Games for sure.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting if just like if they decide to do like an invasion while everybody's like setting up for War Games, and then like Raw and SmackDown invades NXT on that last NXT Wednesday before the pay-per-view.
You know, I hope so. I really hope so. They need to do something. And again, that's what I was going back with you, Flo, about is they need to kind of keep that going, just sprinkling it here and there, keep building it up, keep to, you know, firing shots. And I think, especially as a big build-up for the main one, the Survivor Series, let's do that. Let's have them all come in and let's have this war.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for your call, Orlando. It's a question I have. Would you have Raw and SmackDown invade-ish on actual TakeOver the night before Survivor Series? Is that kind of off limits because it's TakeOver and it's War Games and all that?
Yeah, that's a good point, though, too. That's good. I mean, we don't want to ruin that. You know? So that's interesting. And I think it's going to... It'll depend on how we play it out up until that. You know what I mean? What we're doing up until then, I think will give us a better answer as far as how we should play that out. But you're right. I think if we don't want to mess that up.
Sure.
War Games is already sounding pretty awesome, and I think you take a little bit of that heat by doing that. But then, too, it could be one of those, like, oh, my gosh, moments. You know what I mean? So,
follow-up question. Riddle me this, David Christopher.
Lay it on me.
After this year, if you were in charge of everything WWE, would you put War Games next to Survivor Series if NXT is on that show as well? Because there's things for both. The reason why you would.
Right. I mean, it makes sense as far as what the pay-per-view styles are. So I understand that. But again, too, I think it's very so similar that it would make sense to spread it out as well.
Right.
So I think I'd probably separate it. Let's try it out separating it so you kind of have that both sides, beginning of the year and the end of the year. You know what I mean? Because it is very similar as far as what we're doing with the battle of the brands. It's essentially a War Games. You know what I mean? So, let's spread it out. Let's see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. If you're going to put all three brands in Survivor Series, that kind of acts like a takeover there.
Right.
And there's always that one takeover that happens like in the spring where it's not attached to a pay-per-view, like the Money in the Bank weekend. I would much rather that be takeover then. That be War Games then, because it's not basically being overshadowed by a show that has a lot more years on it as a pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
And you protect your talents, too.
Right? And there's plenty of opportunity earlier in the year to do that, you know? So I agree.
Yeah, for sure. But it's now time for us to get out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in and keeping us in your live and second screens. David Christopher, where can the world find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at David_Christopher_official, or I'm on Twitter at I'm David_C_, or just Google that interweb.
Yeah, thanks so much. My name is Hobo Boy. Support the homie. Buy yourself a Call Me the Mayor shirt at flobito.threadless.com. I'm back here on Monday for Monday Raw After Show. He's back here next Wednesday for NXT After Show. But until next time, buzz you later.
Have a good night, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners.